One thing. You could sit down. So I don't care. I really don't care. But anyway, I just want you to listen. I want to get your best posture for listening for a moment. You know, I sometimes I'll say this out loud and remind you, you know this, but I want to really, let me bear down on it today. I want you to listen this morning, not to my message outline, that's not the issue. I want you to listen this morning for what God is saying to you. All right? I know that sometimes we don't even walk into a sanctuary and into a worship service thinking, God may speak to me today. There's nothing in us that's even oriented toward thinking that might happen. He may have already spoken to you today through these children. It may have already happened. But I want you to capture, what is he saying to you today? I'll speak 1,500, 1,600 words in a few moments, God willing. I know it sounds like a lot. It goes fast, hopefully. But here's what I think. That is 1,600 opportunities for the Holy Spirit to take you on your own personal journey. I don't know what I may say. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes people will leave the service and say, Pastor, I really appreciate you when you said this. And I'm like, I didn't say that. Guess who did? The Holy Spirit did. And so I want you to listen, not to my words, but to what God is speaking into your heart this morning. And then I want you to write it down on something. Put it on your phone or whatever you have to just, I want you, because we'll forget, okay? Write it down. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do with it in a few minutes, so, okay? Father, we trust in this moment that you're going to speak to us, and we want to hear you clearly as you do. So help us to tune our ears. We don't want to just be hearers only. We want to be doers of your word. And so whatever you speak to us, Lord, may we receive it with the spirit of being willing to say, Lord, whatever you want to do with this in my life, I want you to do it. Some of us need direction. We're in a critical time in our life and we need to make a decision. Some of us just need encouragement. We're flat on the ground and we don't know what to do next. Some are sick. Some are frightened. Some are anxious. Lord, you know your people this morning and you know our hearts. We are the sheep of your pasture. You know us. Speak to us through your word now, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your seats and open your Bibles as you're seated, please, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, in this particular passage of Scripture, in my opinion, is probably the high point of the whole book of Titus. It is certainly my favorite passage of Scripture, so I'm thrilled to get to preach this morning as we've come to this time in our rotation through Titus. It's a great Christmas sermon. You'll probably hear it again. You may, so you just, if you don't get it this time, you might get it the next time. But Titus chapter 2, and let me just read the text for us, first of all. It says, for the grace of God, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one disregard you. A few years ago, there was a storm in California that's kind of the same magnitude of storm that we've just been through with Hurricane Ian in South Florida. This particular storm and the deluge of rain and water that came was very, very hard on the hillsides in California and the people who lived on these hillsides. Now we're under the possibility of mudslides. A young family had just, young couple just moved into an area in California on this hillside, and the mudslide was coming at them. It hit the back of their house. It hit the house with such magnitude, such force, that it literally just cut the house in two. And everything in their home just swept out, sweeping away in a river of mud and muck and mire, including their brand new newborn baby daughter. They saw the baby in the cradle being swept out of the house, and then they didn't see her. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, it was dark, and the mudslide was continuing. And the couple went frantically out into the what looked used to be the streets and started screaming and looking and trying to find some sign of their daughter's body. No avail. Looked all night. And early in the dawn morning, as the sun began to come up, This lone, shadowy figure was walking toward them, actually covered in mud. And they couldn't even make out who he was as he came toward them. And as he got closer, they could see he had a blue uniform. He's a rescue worker. And he had a bundle in his arms, a blanket, their baby's blanket covered in mud. And wrapped up inside was their newborn daughter, still alive, rescued safely, muddy, crying. And Mama grabbed her baby, and you know those promises, Mama, you would make in that moment. I'm never going to let you go again. You're never going to play in the mud again. I want you to hang on to that picture for a moment. I want to challenge you with three statements today, if I may. This is just coming directly out of the text of Titus chapter 2. And the first challenge I want to issue is this one. Keep perspective. Keep perspective. The first thing Titus gives us is a word about perspective. And he reminds us, the grace of God has appeared. And this is why this is a great Christmas sermon. The word appeared means epiphanied. It showed up, lit up. The grace of God has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God has appeared. Your salvation. Do you know what the word salvation really means? Some of you know it means to be rescued. Literally. Your rescue has appeared. See, here's the problem. All of us had been swept down Mud River. All of us were caught up in the muck and mire and grime and darkness of this world. And a rescuer came from heaven. Our rescue has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, in the incarnation of Christ. Our rescue has come. We are rescued people. All of us. That's what it means to be saved. The word saved and salvation are interpretations of a more foundational word that means God basically snatched us up and rescued us. And I want you to imagine yourself in that place, in that river. And now, for many of you, as a recipient of that rescue. You see, it says the grace of God has appeared, and there's enough grace for the salvation of all people. This does not say that all people will automatically be saved. Do you know who God won't save? You want to hear me? You know who God won't save? And God's not going to save everybody. He will not save the person who doesn't want to be saved. He will not rescue the person who doesn't want to be rescued. And it's not because God can't. It's not because God has some pride on the line that he won't do that because, well, if you don't ask me, I'm not going to help you. It is because he respects your freedom as a human being enough to say, if you don't want this, you don't have to have it. But there's enough grace for every man, woman, child, boy, girl who's ever lived or whoever will live if you want to be rescued. But the perspective that we need to keep is remembering. Let's look back. Let's remember where we used to be. We used to be in that river. We used to be hopeless and helpless. And without hope in this world, the Bible says, but God came and he rescued us in the person of Jesus Christ, all right? That's our perspective for everything in life. Let's remember that. You are a person who was saved by God's goodness, by God's grace, not by what you do. Now, I want you to hang on to that because otherwise, what I'm about to say is going to confuse you. So we got to keep our perspective. We've been rescued by the grace of God. We have been rescued. We have been saved by the grace of God. But secondly, this text tells us this. Because of that, because we have been saved, because we have been rescued, because this has happened, we are to live differently, okay? Keep your perspective. We're to live differently. We are to be different than the world. We are to be distinct from this world. We are, and Titus is challenged by his pastor, Paul, who said, declare this. Make sure people hear the encouragement, but also the warning that comes in this text. So I want to bear down on that for just a moment, if I may, in verse 12. The big picture here is this. If you have been rescued, if you have truly been saved by the grace of God, if you have been lifted out of that river and the incarnation of the Son of God has come and rescued you, let me just ask you a very, very honest question. Do you want to turn right around and go swimming in the river again? Well, I'm going to think, no, of course not. I just got out of that mess. Why do I want to turn right around and get back into it again? Why indeed Would you want to do that? Why do people do that all the time? What's happening? Now, let me tell you, it's simple. I was trying to make this fit children. Simple story, and so let me give you just a quick little illustration, silly illustration. You know, you can take a pig, a baby, let's just take a baby pig, a piglet. No, I don't have one. I didn't bring one with me. I don't think one's about to come in. No, I think we're okay. So there's no pig, but let's pretend. We have a pretend pig. And you know, you can take a pig, and you can clean it up, you can wash it all up, and you can put really nice smelling baby powder on it. You know, and then get some really fancy, get some Estee Lauder lipstick, you know, and put a little red lipstick on it, and maybe, you know, go all the way and get a little bow for its hair, maybe put a bow in its hair and paint its fingernails, you know. Okay, so you can fix this pig up. And you can cuddle it and hold it and show everybody how cute your pig is. But the minute you put that pig on the ground near a pig pen or near a mud puddle, where's that pig going? It's going to the mud puddle. Why? I mean, it looks pretty. It smells great. It's all cleaned up. It's got a bow in its hair. But you did not change the pig's nature. It's still a pig. Now, why do so many Christians return to the pig pen? By the way, have you ever smelled a pig pen? Got some country folk in here, you been around a pig pen before? You know what, if when you smell a pig pen, you never want to eat bacon again. You just give it, you say, I'm not eating anything that came out of that mess. There's no way. They're awful. Why would you want to do that unless it's just your nature? The pig felt at home in the pig pen because his heart never changed. His nature never changed. Why do Christians jump right back in the river after we think we've pulled them out and got them all cleaned up and they're doing so well, and then they turn right around and they head right back for the pig slop? Because their nature never changed. If you have a new nature, you don't want to go back to the big pen again. Now, you might get pushed in it. You may make a mistake and step in, but you're not going to go back because you want to. Because the thing that made you want to live there is now taken out of you. You have a new nature that wants something better. All right? You get simple picture, but you get it. You see, this is the problem. And sometimes church work becomes, let's take people and clean them up on the outside and make them look like we want them to look and act like we want them to act. And then we're just shocked when they go back to the old life that they used to have. Nothing ever changed inside of them. They haven't really been rescued. Now, I want you to just understand, Paul is assuming with these words that you have really received a new nature. But even though you receive a new nature, you still need to be taught some things. First of all, he said, you need to say no to some things. You need to say no to your worldly nature. You need to say no to ungodliness. You need to stop living and stop thinking like the world. This is not legalism here, folks. This is rescue language. You've got to stop acting this way now, or you're going to end up back in the river again. All right? You have to say no. Listen, read this literally. You know what this says? You know what some of the problem is? Sometimes we struggle with temptation. Anybody struggle with temptation in here besides me? When you struggle with temptation, you know what this text really says to do? Say no. When was the last time you just said no? No, I'm not going to do that. No. Now, you know what? There's something different. It doesn't say think no. It says, say no to these things. There's a reason the Bible uses words like that. It's because it wants you to do that. And you think, well, people think I'm crazy. It's better than they think you're lost. See, here's the problem. Why did God leave you here? What are you doing here? If you're a Christian, you've been rescued, you've been cleaned up, you've been taken out of the river, you've been washed, you have been purified, you have been set free. Why didn't God just kill you on the spot and take you home? Wouldn't that make more sense? Would to me in some ways. A lot easier. No. Because he wants people on this planet who look like they've been rescued. Because there are still a lot of people around who need to be rescued. Who need to be rescued. But you know what? Sometimes they can't find a person that looks like they've been rescued. If we blend in and look just like the world, and we're camouflaged with mud, how do they know that you're different? How do they know? So Paul says, say no to ungodliness, say no to worldly passions, and say yes. What does he say yes to? Because this isn't just a no message. This is not just a thou shalt not kind of message, but now you are to live self-controlled. You are to live upright, not uptight, but upright and godly lives. So you stop doing this. But listen, you want to help somebody get over a habit, get over a problem. You can't just take it away from them and say, good luck. You go, no, instead of this, do this. Instead of living this way, live this way. So he said, now you are to live self-controlled, self-controlled. You know what that means? That means you can't control yourself. You can. You couldn't when you were in Mud River. Now you can. You have self-control, live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. What is he saying? Look like you've been rescued. Look like you've been rescued. Live like you've been rescued. Why? So the people that are drowning in the river can see you. Charlie, how did this happen? You look like you've been cleaned up. How did that happen? Why are you different? Why are you not down here drowning with the rest of us? And then you get to tell them about the rescuer. You get to tell them how this happened. You get to tell them how this lives. Let me ask you, can I ask you a personal question? What part of your life is still not saved? How about that? Let me just ask you that. Is it your language? Is your language still the language of a person that lives in Mud River? Is it your marriage? Is it your patience? I hate to even bring this one up. Is it your driving? Some of you, I know you've been saved, but man, you don't drive like it. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I'm close enough to the edge here that, you know, if you need to fire me because of this, okay. But I'm just telling you, I've always struggled with it. I get impatient. I'm a really, really even keel, decent person to be around until I drive. And then all the maniacs and all the idiots come out when I start driving. All right, the people that don't know how to drive, the people that drive 2 miles an hour when the speed limit's 75, you know. And I'm always in a hurry. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit started dealing with me on this. And you know, I don't even have a fruit coat sticker on my car. You know why? You know, last thing I want is people to have to see a bumper sticker that says, follow me to Fruit Cup. No, not, you know. But, you know, I'm Robbie's laughing at me back here. I'm sorry. I need to be quiet. But, you know, I'm pulling out. Let me tell you where I'm almost the worst. We're out here. I can walk you outside and point you to the spot. Because I'm trying to get out. And everybody in Duval County is trying to go south. And everybody in St. John's County is trying to go north. And I'm just trying to get across the road. And I'm thinking, it's not too much to ask. Just for a little opening in the traffic. But no, it just keeps coming. Just keeps coming. And one day, the Lord convicted me of two things. Number one, these are people that I'm sending into your church field. Some of those people might show up at your church someday. Boy, that got me. But then, let me tell you what really got me. You know, Tim, you're still a pastor even when you're driving. Whew. So now I realize I am the road pastor. I was the road warrior. Now I'm the road pastor. And I pray for the person in front of me that doesn't know how to drive. And I pray for the person that I'm thinking, how are they sitting in line trying to get out in this traffic? I stop for them. I let them go. Go ahead. I try to smile. Don't always do it, but I try to smile. I realize I might be the only pastor in all this traffic. I pastor these people. Even when I'm not in the pulpit, I'm still the pastor. Amen? Wouldn't you think that's true? And even when you're not in a pew, beloved, you're still Christians. Now, I expect this to change the way we get off this parking lot today. All right? I don't think you did not listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. You did not. But you know what I'm saying? We pick and choose. Oh, no, I'm still going to act like a lost person. No, you don't get to do that, folks. You're all the way rescued, and it should change everything about you. And if it hadn't changed it, it needs to be in the process of being changed. All right, let me get down. This has all been the introduction, so let me get to the message now. Stay ready, okay? Third thing, keep your perspective, live differently, stay ready. Stay ready for what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. The return of our, as Paul calls it here, our blessed hope, our hope that brings blessing, the blessed hope of Jesus' return is coming. Coming soon. You know, I'll be 70 years old, folks. I've been waiting for Jesus to come back since I was 22. I thought he's going to come back when I was 25. I missed that one. I want Jesus to come back before I get done. I want that to happen. I want to see that happen. I want the return of Christ to happen soon. Are you ready for that if that does happen? I mean, the world's getting worse. We say, oh, it can't get much worse. Oh, yes, it can. I think we're just watching the previews right now. I don't think the movie started yet. Are we ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? As Jesus himself said in the book of Matthew, he said, nobody's going to know the day or the hour. We keep trying to nail that day down, nail that hour. Jesus said, you're not going to know. In an hour when you least expect it, the Son of Man will return. When you least expect, if you're expecting it, you're messing it up. in an iron. And here's, you know what I think that means? I mean, I think that means we're going to get to the point that we're even going to lose hope that Jesus is going to come back. We're just going to lose hope. He said, and then I'm coming. When you least expect it. This is our hope. This is this is Jesus rescued us. He came as the rescuer the first time to redeem us and to take us out of the muck and the mire and the mud of this world. But when he comes again, it'll be too late to be rescued. When he comes to take us out of this world, really take us out of this world, the world is too late to be rescued. See, the river's going somewhere, folks. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's running its course. And if you don't get out of it, that's where you're going. Not just dying, eternal death in hell. That's where Mud River ends up. And if you have not been redeemed, saved, rescued, by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's your destiny. Your choice, your decision, but your destiny. Pray with me. Father, right now, as we close, so much more can be said. So many more thoughts can be chased out. But I trust, Lord, that there's been enough time now. Our hearts have been opened to hear you speak, to hear you say something to us, something. I believe you are always speaking, Lord. I believe you want us to hear you. I believe you want us to understand you. But you don't want us to be like the man who looks at himself in a mirror and sees the things that need to be fixed and then turns away and does nothing. I pray this morning for any person here. As they've heard, Lord, as we have heard, maybe listening on the radio on the promise this morning, maybe online or here in this room, we have heard you speaking. And now, beloved, hear me. My question to you is this. What are you going to do about it? The Lord spoke to you. This is true. The Lord spoke to you. He may have said something to you about something that needs to stop in your life. Or something that needs to start in your life. What are you going to do about it? The invitation today is for you, every person, not just the couple who may join the church or a person who may make a public decision for Christ today. And it's certainly open to you, absolutely, but it's open to everybody. What is God telling you to do? And my question to you is, maybe today, this is just you and God. You need to do business right where you're sitting. That's fine. Some of you need to come to this altar to pray. Maybe what he's asking is challenging, maybe hard, maybe it looks impossible to you right now. Maybe you just need somebody to put their arm around you and pray for you. We want to do that, give you that chance. So we're going to be singing, Brian's going to be singing a song. Called Lord, I Need You. And as he sings that song, this is your time to respond to what God is saying in your life right now. What do you need to do? What do you need to do to obey? What do you need to change? What do you need to start doing? What do you need to give up, stop doing? What do you need help with? How can we pray with you? And certainly today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the rescuer, and you just want to say, man, I just need to know what it means to follow Jesus and to be his then come and let us talk to you. We're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. Just explain and answer your questions. So we're here to do that as you come right now. So Lord, have your way in this building, in this room, in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Stand together, church family. Let's come as God leads.